it's me, Mario. Woohoo! Welcome to the VooCast. Let's go!
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the VooCast. It's episode number 178, and it's a podcast where we talk about all the Nintendo things. I'm Stephen, and I have other people with me. One of them is Vook. Hi, Vook.
Hello.
And Daniel.
Hello, everyone.
And Troy's our boy. I made that joke before, but I need to keep doing it. Hi.
Oh, no.
Oh, shit. What up, that boy?
And you said we're like on 178 episodes. It's only like 127.
Oh, shit. Well.
We'll just skip them.
Yes.
We could make that a thing now. We just start sending random episodes to people who will think we're more important.
Well, yes. I'll just fix that in post. E3 is a thing that just happened. And, I mean, if you blinked, you might have missed it, but Nintendo was there. So we should probably talk a little bit about it. So the first thing that they started off with for a short moment was the new Legend of Zelda game. It has an official title, The Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild. And it looks kind of incredible. What do you think, Vook?
I think it's actually pretty damn good. Like, I don't know what I was expecting. Like, I expected a new Zelda and in HD and to try something new, but even, like, the small things they've changed are pretty crazy. And, like, it's Zelda, but they've finally ditched 20 years of baggage, I guess, and made something.
Like, it looks like the first Zelda in, as you say, probably about 20 years that doesn't look like A Link to the Past, just, like, again.
Exactly, yeah, and, like, they took the idea from A Link Between Worlds and made it open-ended, but have amplified that, like, 100 times, and I think that's pretty crazy.
They seem to have learned a lot of lessons from, I guess, more contemporary games. You've got crafting systems and what looks like animal hunting, though I don't know if it's quite that.
Yeah, I don't know how deep this was all going to be, or but, yeah, there's definitely a more Western influence. And
The fact that you have even, like, a weapon inventory system is kind of ridiculous. Normally you have, like, three or four swords, you know, one's more powerful than the other, or one's story-based. But here it looks like you can have, you know, a whole pile of different swords and shields that you use in different situations, and they degrade, and it's crazy.
Yeah, and just the fact that, like, the inventory is there, like, old-fashioned inventory, but there's also, like, quick select and things like that, which are more on-the-fly type changing. It's pretty crazy.
Yeah. Did you have any thoughts, Daniel or Troy? Jump in.
Yeah, well, I was just going to expand on the point that it felt like an original Zelda. Like, that's a good way of putting it. 20 years of baggage, gone.
I feel especially the last two 3DS Zeldas, they have been trying to move in different directions. Like, you look at A Link Between Worlds, sort of messed things up with the whole usual dungeon progression format, and then you had Triforce Heroes, which is its own completely different thing. But, I mean, yeah, this does feel a lot more Western and open-worldy and just, you know, that's sort of the way a lot of games are going at the moment now, when you look at stuff like even like Shadows of Mordor or Mad Max or, like, Skyrim, Witcher. It's all just more about making your own adventure, which is sort of, like, what the original Zelda was.
Yeah, that exactly is what I was thinking. Like, it's the first Zelda in a long time that looks like it's going to play, you know, to the same exploration and freedom as the first Zelda. Like, if you want to go to Death Mountain or whatever the equivalent is and just get completely wrecked, you can. But also, if you're really good at the game, maybe you won't get completely wrecked, and that'll be a cool thing to do.
Well, it's worth noting that the closest thing I can think to an open-world Zelda game would probably be Wind Waker. And that was still just ocean. That didn't feel... It was adventurous. I'll give it that.
I'm pretty sure Inuma, when he was first talking about this, like, two E3s ago, probably, when we first saw that first tiny bit of footage of it, he did reference Wind Waker as being what they wanted to do, but they were sort of constrained with the tech at the time. So that's why everything is just tiny, small islands. Whereas this is like, well, no, we know what we can do it now, and yeah.
I guess they needed the scale, and they needed the hardware to cater to the scale of what they wanted to do.
Hmm. And I think the addition of climbing, like, it seems like a minor thing, but it basically gets rid of any sort of fencing or gating that would normally be there. Like, normally you can only go into certain sections in Hyrule Field. Say, in Ocarina of Time, you'd have cliffs that would funnel you into certain areas, but now you can just climb up the top and go wherever the heck you want. It's like,
it's not going to be like Elder Scrolls where you walk up a mountain sideways just because you're walking on a polygon seam or something.
Just try and get a horse like 45 degree angle up a hill.
And I think the extension of that is like the fact that Link can just jump. You can press a button and he can jump, which is something he hasn't been able to do since 1989.
Yeah, like,
Link's Awakening.
Yeah, but that was assisted.
It's something he hasn't really been able to do in, like, a 3D Zelda game, at least.
Yeah.
Yeah, he does it automatically on ledges and stuff.
Well, the auto-jump was the auto-jump was this thing, like, to differentiate Super Mario and Zelda when 3D first was a thing.
Hmm.
They didn't want
Zelda like a platformer, I guess.
Zelda 2 wasn't anything like a Zelda game.
All knew it's doing. I can see it taking a lot of inspiration from previous Zelda games. Like, a lot of the movement does feel a bit Skyward Sword-y, and I think people forget that had stamina bar. That had, I mean, basic sort of, like, you'd use that to run up steep slopes and stuff, and does feel a bit like an expansion of that. Like, and that also had crafting and gathering items to make stronger items and...
But I feel like that, the crafting specifically, is an expansion on the idea of the original, like the first Zelda, which was pretty much, here's an item, you figure it out. We're not going to really tell you what to do. It's a raft, what do you think it's for?
Yeah, exactly. You instead of, like, the, you know, the recent 3D Zeldas, they sort of... It was basically a series of bottlenecks. Like, you had to go... You get a thing that unlocks a new section. Like, you know, a raft might as well be a key to a door that is a river or something. Like, it wasn't really free form. It was just, you know, you have to get a thing that acts as a key to get to the next area. And this, hopefully, won't be anything like that.
And the entire game held your hand. Like, Skyward Sword, the first 2-3 hours of it is stop and talk, stop and talk, stop and talk. Which was... Well, I don't think I can go back if... Well, I haven't finished Skyward Sword, I'll admit this, right? I got up to, I got up to some point of the game and just never went back. I don't think I can go back and finish it now, seeing what's possible in the Zelda game.
It's going to feel super outdated when this... You know, once we've played this new game, I suspect that the old 3D Zeldas are going to feel completely different and not necessarily in a good way.
Yeah.
I think... The distinction is that the newer Zelda games are playing on the formula, whereas this new one is playing on the DNA of the original, which is, here's a world, do what you want.
It's well put. Good metaphor.
I like that, that's really good. That's a good way to put it.
So cool. I'm excited.
Do we have any more words about Zelda?
I think we just need to talk quickly about the fact that it's going to be an NX game as well. And what we saw of it looks beautiful. But a lot of people were complaining about the frame rate and it's just a bit jaggy and stuff. It has that classic Wii U jagginess to it. But
it does.
Which all Wii U games have. And I think even if the NX version, all it has different is that it runs at full 1080p and 60 frames, or even 30 frames solid, will be good enough. It's just good. Like, I posted a picture last night on Twitter, which was the GameCube version of Twilight Princess, and how that was, everyone was excited for that. No one ended up playing the GameCube version. They bought it because it was collectible.
Yeah. Or if they didn't have enough money for a Wii, I guess. Yeah. But, like, I know all of one person who did that.
Exactly. So, the NX version, I mean, some people might be that burned by Nintendo and the Wii U that they might not buy it, but I think everyone's going to look at the Wii U version of this game as a footnote.
It'll be just,
more like an obligation now.
Yeah.
Releasing it because they said they would.
Which is exactly...
At least it doesn't look like it's holding the game back.
I mean, other than frame rate and, like, the graphics looking a bit clear up, could, I mean, like, let's say this was on a system as powerful as a PS4, how much better would it look, or would it need to look?
Well, one of my first, the things that I noticed, as gorgeous as the game looks, a lot of the environments look a little
empty or bland.
I might be killed for that, but I'm just comparing it to another big open world Wii U game. Xenoblade Chronicles X has a lot of small details in the areas, so like things like pebbles in the ground and varied bits of grass or textures and things like that. And the Zelda, what we saw, didn't have that to the same degree.
Could that be because of the art style, maybe, as well?
Even then, it still feels like if you took a screenshot in a certain couple of places, like if you took the vistas out and basically just took a screenshot of looking at the ground looks boring.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying it has to look exciting, but it just looked like ground in a video game.
The example I'm going to use is I just finished playing Mad Max on the PS4, and like just places with that, like you're walking around and you see the way the sort of sand moves around your feet, or just a little details like that that add nothing to the overall gameplay but add to the experience.
Yeah,
probably stuff like that they could add that, you know, like you'll notice, you know, Link's walking through the grass, and instead of just the grass moving, you'll notice like maybe the blade sort of the way they bend under his feet or something. The way snow sort of,
it's cool.
I think,
like, it doesn't add to the game, but it is cool.
Yeah, it makes the world more believable, and that's all it needs to do.
I mean, I also want to point out that I used to build environments for video games, so I'm a little bit biased towards making stuff look like it's telling a story. But it's going to be like a huge undertaking to do that with an entire open world.
Yeah,
considering the size of their saying this will be. Yes,
and it's also got like realistic, got like a physics engine. So like, if you cut down a tree, it'll fall a certain way depending on where you cut it. Or
the fire was impressive.
The fire was impressive. Yeah.
Very Far Cry, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. I thought that immediately.
But the other funny thing is how much unlike a Wii U game it is, and I mean that in the fact that it uses absolutely nothing of the Wii U. The gamepad's not even the map. There's no aiming. There's no motion controls. It's on the Wii U out of obligation.
Yeah, it's kind of it's indicating that. No, I mean, I'm sure it was never going to be there, but it's, I guess, more confirmation that there's not going to be any gamepad sort of compatibility with the NX. They're designing this game to not need the gamepad in any way, I guess.
Yeah,
which it's actually really weird because you have an in-game analog with the Sheikah tablet.
Yeah,
which is kind of funny.
So
can I just if that's happening and we're seeing like no gamepad stuff and we're sort of what's the word I'm looking for? It's late. If we're sort of theorizing that the NX isn't going to have a gamepad, what does that mean for backwards compatibility?
I don't think they will do it. Yeah. Like.
Or maybe it'll be the same with like the Wii remotes on the Wii U and backwards compatibility, where it's an option to play.
That would require Nintendo to sell Wii U gamepads.
Well, Nintendo has the streaming technology that they use in the Wii U gamepad. Why can't they make that stream to a tablet or a mobile phone?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, I know it's sidetracked, but it's just... Yeah.
As
someone who really likes dual screen gaming, so.
I don't mind dual screen gaming, but I do like off TV play, and I will miss that.
Speaking of dual screen gaming, now we have to spend an hour talking about Pokemon Sun and Moon just to catch up with Nintendo.
And
they gave us so much content to talk about in that hour.
And Troy will speak in Japanese, and I will translate.
Yes,
watashi wa. That's all I know.
Kawaii.
Domo arigato.
Watashi wa Daniel des. Dojo yoroshiku. Hajime mashite.
Nani
you
kore?
Did what with the horse?
I don't know.
So desu ka? Ego ga hanashimasu ka?
Okay, well, let's start with the trailer of stuff that you've already seen.
Yes. Yeah, it was. Yep. That was unimpressive. And didn't really go anywhere better after that.
Didn't really show much new at all, did it? It's like...
Well, they showed three new Pokemon, but they're all, like, starter area Pokemon.
Scrub.
Yeah, I guess they're like the Zigzagoon of the game.
Yeah, like imagine like
one red and blue.
Yeah, 20 years ago, here's Rattata.
Oh. Yeah.
Before we talk about A Link to the Past, here's Rattata and Pidgey. Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't get excited about this game.
We're going to talk about Pokemon.
I mean, the only sort of like really new thing that that I saw was the Battle Royale mode, the four-way thing. Which
I was actually going to say it's small user interface updates. Like, you can see in-game, like in-battle stats now. When it goes, your enemy's got, you know, you use Growl and now its attack has gone down or whatever. You can actually visually see that now.
Oh, wow. I didn't notice that, but that's really cool.
Yeah. And it's got its own little interface for that now.
Especially you see with Pokemon X and Y, they've been really streamlining the whole experience, and I think that's just another step towards that. It's stuff that they should have been showing you for a long time, but now they're finally doing it just to make things flow a bit better. And like, I noticed the bottom screen, like there's just so much more info displayed on there now.
Yeah, but I just worry that every time that they make these updates, they're adding how many more new Pokemon, and it's starting to feel inaccessible, I guess. I love Pokemon, but every time they release more Pokemon, I don't know.
I don't know any of the Pokemon anymore, and maybe just because I'm old. It's crazy because, yeah, I can't get into the new Pokemon because there's too many of them to know.
I was going to say, the most memorable ones are the stupid ones. It's like, everyone knows Trubbish. Everyone knows the bloody ice cream cone. Like, who remembers, like, there was like, some lion Pokemon, lion fire Pokemon you found early on in, like, Black and White or whatever the last one was, or...
Screw that. There's a chandelier.
Yeah, exactly. It's
in
like,
Pocken.
Yeah.
Oh.
Anyway.
But yeah, and I mean, as far as I can tell, apart from those neat little interface tricks, it's... I don't know. I'm kind of like Vuk. I find it hard to get excited about just based on what they're showing purely because it's sort of the same Pokemon we've been playing for the last couple of years with new Pokemon, new maps, but that just doesn't really excite me on its own. I'm sure I'll play it when it comes out, but...
Yeah, I mean, I will too, but...
It's more an obligation than anything for me.
People don't want anything radically new because you get something like Yo-Kai Watch, which is new and different. But it's a twist on the Pokemon formula. People go, oh, okay, it's just a Pokemon clone. And then they just go back to Pokemon. But then they whine that Pokemon never changes.
I mean, I don't think it necessarily has to change because I'm sure that I'm not the target audience for it anymore. And it's always new for a whole bunch of people. But I don't know. I find it hard to get excited about. But it's not really.
There is a bit of a dissonance there that if we're not the target audience anymore, why are they celebrating 20 years of Pokemon? You know what I mean?
We got our virtual console releases, and they threw us a bone. Us old guys.
That's OG Pokemon trainers.
Yes.
I mean, I'm excited for it. I mean, I think the game looks a lot like it looks. You can see like small graphical upgrades over X and Y. It looks like a nice, nicer game. Yeah. I like how the camera sort of seems a bit more cinematic in some of the.
You're still the dumb old trainer who's trying to get the 8 gym badges and overcome the evil. I think it needs something new.
I was just going to say that these improvements are starting to get to the point of diminishing returns. There's only so much they can really do with it now to make it feel worth going back to.
Yeah.
The series has been going for 20 years. I mean, it's surprising that it's remained relatively fresh this long. Other franchises, like, you look at bloody, what's the word I'm thinking of? Like, Assassin's Creed, that's only probably been going for not even 10 years, and it's, like, now already people are, like, sick to death of it. Or Call of Duty's, like, people are going over it. Pokemon's been doing this for 20 years, and it's still... You know, it still gets so much hype and excitement out of people.
Well, hopefully getting things a bit more positive, but keeping it on the Pokemon train.
Oh, my God. Pokemon we all Go. Hate Pokemon, don't we?
Yeah, God. Let's... Why do we even care? Why do we work... Well, do work for a Nintendo site. Why do we bother?
I'm excited for it. I think it looks good.
But yes, yeah, Pokemon Go.
Can I have
a bit of a whinge, though? I am really upset that they announced like there's going to be a koala Pokemon for it.
Why?
Because I had this great fear. Like, you know, every Pokemon game is set in its own unique place. We had this one set in Hawaii. Last one was set in France. Then, like, New York before that. I wanted a Pokemon game set in Australia. That would have been awesome. And we could have had the starters could have been a platypus as the water, and I don't know, there could have been like an electric koala could have been our Pikachu, and Japan would have fucking loved it. And Route
16 could have been across the back, like, outback, and take an entire week to cross. Yeah.
Instead of getting a push bike, you get a banged up ute. It could have been beautiful.
Oh, that could have been a cane toe Pokemon.
Nah, it would have been a quad bike.
And you couldn't catch more than six Pokemon because the internet's so shit that they couldn't transfer the Pokemon back to the Pokemon Center.
Our wildlife is so unique here. I reckon they could have easily made 150 new Pokemon and it wouldn't have felt like same old, whereas...
We've had a kangaroo from the start, though.
Oh, and yeah, well, there's two kangaroo Pokemons. There's the Kangaskhan and the Breloom, the little mushroom... it's a kangaroo. And I think that's it off the top of my head.
I don't know.
We should probably move on. Clearly, we've gotten there. Oh, I just understood what you guys did. Pokemon Go. This is sort of the first actual footage we've seen of it, isn't it?
Technically, officially, yes. Yeah. Nothing has leaked so far.
We've seen like a whole bunch of like concept footage, and there's been the people that have been in on the testing beta, but somehow they've kept a lid on that. And it looks like what's the game it's based on? I can't remember what it's called.
Ingress.
Yeah, Ingress. It looks like Ingress with Pokemon, which I guess is what everyone wants. So that's cool.
Yeah. I'll personally see it.
Yeah, I'm sure I'll give it a try when it starts, and I mean, I even tried out that weird April Fool's Pokemon on Google Maps thing. That was fun for a little while, and this is kind of the same idea.
Apparently that's where it all started. I've watched a little bit of the day one stream, but I've mainly watched a lot of the day two stuff, and I was listening to that, and they were saying, yeah, it started with that like little joke with Google Maps, because the guy who made Ingress used to work for Google Maps, and he had a hand in that Pokemon April Fool's Day joke.
Mm.
And so he took, you know, apparently he got contacts with Nintendo and then went from there.
I think sort of the only information that I heard during any of the stuff that I watched was that it's probably stuff we already knew as well, but like the Pokemon are going to be appropriate for the location. Like they've been going through and looking at all the maps, seeing where the water is, where the water Pokemon are going to be, sort of the arid areas are going to be where you'll find desert-dwelling Pokemon. So, it's kind of cool that they've gone to that kind of effort, and it means if you are in a physical area, you'll probably, everyone around you will have similar sort of Pokemon, and so I guess it'll be a little bit like, you know, trading with people that have the other version of Pokemon, except people that are trading with, you know, people from other towns, other countries, who knows? It could be a fun thing to do at an airport, I guess. Trade with people there from other places.
All Australia's going to have is just spiders. Just
Ariados.
You're going to Northbridge and there's just drunk Pokemon.
Kangaskhan's for everyone.
Spinda.
Yeah.
apparently they had two people there who'd been field testing it, and one of them asked, how come all the Pokemon are sort of Gen 1? And they said, like, oh, well, that's all we're focusing on at this point because that's the ones people are most familiar with, and then we plan to expand it to other stuff later.
In-app purchases, baby.
Yeah, I did get
unlocking
the feeling
the national Pokedexes and stuff.
I mean, they sort of said, as you catch, like they used an example of Squirtle, the more Squirtles you'll get these Squirtle candies, and if you get more of them, you can use them to evolve. So I think that sounds like there is potential for in-app purchases for these, like, candies in the game and stuff.
You know, it'd be cool.
No,
if you
I think
get,
they actually
like,
want people to go around and catch them.
Yeah, if you go get 10 Squirtles, and you have your own Squirtle squad, and go beat up other Pokemon in real life.
Hell yes.
The guy from Ingress, is Ingress the company or is that the game? No,
that's the game.
Yeah, so the guy from Niantic, he was actually saying he wants to make people go out walking a lot, and that's the whole point of it, to make you go walking around and
into traffic.
Someone is going to get stabbed.
Someone's going to just walk in front of a car.
We could Vuk segue to the Steven. Pokemon Go Plus for that one.
Vuk and Steven, you probably saw on my Facebook, I was getting really big into walking for a while, and there are some games I've got on my phone that, you know, they reward you for the amount of steps you take.
Oh, the run zombies and hoping, stuff.
Yeah. I'm kind of hoping in this, like, it'd be cool, like, you know, you could use the amount of steps you've done to, like, funnel into a Pokemon for experience points or making him evolve or stuff. Yeah, so, I mean, just the way they sort of worded it is that they want people to go out walking and be more active kind of leads me to hope that this is where that'll come in. And maybe this is, like, where the quality of life stuff they were talking about a few years ago comes into it.
Yeah, why make quality of life devices when you can just make an app?
Well, I mean, when
an
you think about it...
that's just going to get all your 10-year-olds out of the house.
Yeah.
When you think about it, that's basically what the Pokemon Plus thing is. It's making you go out and walking around a lot.
But you're going to look a bit ridiculous with your Fitbit on your Apple Watch on and your Pokemon.
Yeah, it's okay. Just take the Fitbit off and the Apple Watch off and you're good.
Yeah, but how will I know people to get to mug me?
I mean, I'm not totally 100% sold on this game yet. It's still like... I need to see how the actual gameplay part of it, like the battle...
It looks very boring as a game, but, I mean...
Yeah. I think it's the catching part that they're trying to capture.
The social part will be fun.
Yeah.
Well, yes.
You've got to catch them all.
You do have to catch them all. There's no way I can move into this. Ever Oasis is a thing that I know Daniel's excited about, and I'm not sure about anyone else.
So,
you have free reign. Tell us all about Ever Oasis and why we should be excited for it.
So, I don't know if everyone else is like this, but for me, there's like one game that I played early on that sort of defined my whole gaming career, and that was Secret of Mana on the Super Nintendo. I fucking loved it, excuse my language. And, you know, ever since then I knew I liked RPGs and all that. And so, you know, and I liked Square Enix. And then the guy who made this, Koshi Ishii, he stuck with Square for a while and he made, like, Seiken Densetsu 3 and Legend of Mana and Sword of Mana and every other Mana game, and they all were kind of shit. None of them were... I mean, you know, it was like diminishing returns because you'd always keep trying to change up the format, and it was like, no, just make that again. That was good. Till eventually he sort of got kicked out of Square. And then he formed Grezzo, which I don't know if Nintendo owns or they just get his...
I'm pretty sure they're a second party.
Yeah, they're like Labs or something or...
Grezzo's been responsible for all the Zelda 3DS games. And even, I think the other thing was like that Flower Town game on the Street Pass Plaza. Anyway, so yeah, it's a new sort of third-person, open-worldish kind of RPG for the 3DS.
It does actually look pretty good, like the graphical...
Looks
what
gorgeous.
Little I did see of it looked like there was like multiplayer co-op going on, or at least multiple party members that you could sort of switch between that had their own abilities and such like that, which is a little bit Secret of Mana.
Yeah. And
that
boss battle
looks sick.
It's sort of taking a bit out of, what's the one I'm thinking of? Crystal Chronicles, because it's got like different races you can play as, and the different races have different abilities. And they were I was watching the Treehouse stuff of it. They were demoing switching between the different types of races and how they could all sort of like one race was, I think, Seedling or something, could roll into a ball and like go full Samus mode, get through puzzles. And like the dungeons have a lot of puzzle solving to them, so that's sort of where your Zelda influence comes from. The combat looks very Secret of Mana-y. The art style looks just beautiful. You've also got this whole sort of city-building element to it. You've got your oasis that you need to build up and invest in buildings and buying resources and all that. So it looks like there's a ton going on here.
Yeah, it's all Egyptian-based as well, isn't it?
Yep.
Hang on, what? I didn't notice that. I have to...
I think the little bit that I saw looked like they were in a pyramid.
It's set in a desert, so I mean... I was watching it all yesterday. They said...
I'm just on the E3 site.
Yeah, you're this character, like a seedling or...
Yeah, seedling sounds right.
But, I mean, he's got the ability to create an oasis for all the people to live in. So it's up to him to make this oasis as big and large as possible and go out in quests to get more resources, which is kind of where I get the Crystal Chronicles vibe from, because in Crystal Chronicles, you were like this lone emissary for your town to go out and get the drops of whatever the fuck it was from the trees.
I'm just looking at it. Seedling's probably a good choice. I just realized his sword is an actual seed sprouting.
That's pretty neat.
That's really clever.
I mean, the secret of mana game, like the mana games have always sort of had this nature element to it about like rebuilding the tree and all that, so
yeah, makes sense that they'd keep that theme.
The only reason I'm a little bit hesitant about it is because I was really excited for like Children of Mana and Heroes of Mana on the DS, and they all were just sort of a bit... He's very good at making games that like, oh, this would be a really good game if someone just had have wrangled in a few of the elements here or there. Like, Children of Mana is a great dungeon crawler, but it's a bit boring after a while, and Heroes of Mana was just...
Yeah. But I mean, that's...
I fucking love Secret of Mana so much, and I just want this to be good.
Well, hopefully it is.
Also got a lot of Fantasy Life vibes from it as well, I guess.
Yeah, actually, that was my first thought.
I still gotta play that one.
I mean, that has a big vibe.
And I mean, that's another funny note. Like, Fantasy Life was made by Brownie Brown, who was also ex-Secret of Mana guys. So it's all sort of, like, works together and all that.
It's all connected.
Like, I mean, the great circle of life.
They did bring up a lot in the Treehouse segment, just like, because they had Koshi Ishii up there with them being translated, and they were talking about, yeah, like, you made Secret of Mana, you did a lot of work for Final Fantasy, you designed the Moogles and Chocobos and all that, so they're really bringing up, I think the 3DS has a reputation as the RPG system right now, so...
Yeah. Oh, no joke.
But it's funny, it's out next year, that's 6 months away. That's ages away.
I mean, this it would have to be one of the final 3DS games, you have to imagine, depending on what happens with the NX and if it is, like, you know...
I can't just...
Replacing the 3DS.
Whatever it ends up being.
You know, the whole rumour that it's going to be both a console and a handheld.
Anyway. Yeah, we should.
I am so super excited about this. It's just like, apparently it's not multiplayer though. It's only single player. So
that, okay. So it's just a party system rather than multiplayer.
Yeah.
That's cool. Well, that's that.
I mean, you know, no one was expecting a new IP from Nintendo this year. So just.
No one was expecting much of anything from Nintendo this year, to be fair. Yeah. Well, to bring up your spirits and then dash them. Rhythm Heaven Mega Mix was kind of came out of nowhere. Like, we knew it was a thing, but they sort of showed it off a little bit. And then, surprise, it's out now on the eShop. And I got very, very excited and was thinking, oh, man, it's not there right now, but we do have an eShop update coming up soon. Man, surely it's going to be in there. And then they dropped the bombshell on Twitter that it's coming out in, like, October in Europe and Australia. And that's really sad.
Well, have they actually said the Australian date yet? I don't think they have.
Yeah, that's a good point. It was just the European account, but...
Yeah, but pretty much we're screwed. Steven. Yeah.
Yeah, the fact that it's not out here yet, don't tell me you have a US 3DS. I don't need to know.
No. No, but they have to do a ton of translating for that game. So it's just... Translating isn't a quick process.
English to English is pretty hard.
You've got to get it classified everywhere.
There are literally tens of words they have to translate in that game.
You got to translate labba dabba dabba that true into seven languages.
Just for the fans.
I mean, look I'm not overly interested in the Rev'em Heaven games. I'm disappointed it's not getting a retail release in America, because I would rather have a cart for it than a
download.
I thought they said that was coming later. I could have been wrong there, but I swear they said that digital now, physical later.
I'll be all over it physical.
I digital all the way for this for me. I don't really need a physical copy. But like the reason I really wanted to try it is you've got Rhythm Heaven, I think it's just Rhythm Heaven on the DS, and that uses a touchscreen for a lot of stuff, which is fine, but it's not the way I prefer to play it. And obviously we never got the GBA version over here that used all the buttons. And this sort of brings together all the, a whole bunch of the mini games from pretty much every Rhythm Heaven in the past and lets you control them all just straight up with the buttons on the 3DS. And that just seems like the best possible Rhythm Heaven there could be. But we just can't get it for 4 months, and I'm sad, you guys.
I've never actually played one of these games before, but I love rhythm games.
You'll fall in love.
Correct me if I'm wrong, this is like the WarioWare team, isn't it? Or someone similar? It's a similar art style, at least.
Yeah, it's definitely a similar art style. I'm not sure if it's the same team, actually, but I wouldn't be surprised.
In any case, I was really keen to try it, and then they said, oh, it's out today, and I'm like, maybe. And then the October thing happened, and I really don't think that we should be a part of Europe anymore.
Yeah, I'm not going to buy it in October.
No. I'm sorry, I have a US 3DS.
I have two of them, but that's not the point. Like,
I'll still probably buy it in October, but like you were talking about before we started recording, Vuk, that it's just going up against a huge amount of competition at the time. Like, now there's nothing coming out because everything's all, you know, no one wanted to release during E3.
Yeah.
And it's just a perfect time. It's got nothing else to compete against. But in October, it's just, as you're saying, there's heaps of stuff on either side of it.
I mean, this is a niche game, don't get me wrong. And it is not going to sell millions of copies like the games that are coming out in October. So the people who want the game are going to buy it in October anyway, right? But so why make them wait till then to have it? Like,
it's an arbitrary thing, isn't it? This isn't like Bravely Second or Fire Emblem Fates. This is...
like, Yo-Kai Watch 2 isn't going to come out here in Australia this year because there's no time for it now. Because, one, it's probably not even classified... not classified, it translated fully yet. And, well, I mean, they showed the Japanese version at E3, didn't they?
Yeah, yep.
Yeah, so... I mean, we got the American version last time, and that's why we got the game early. But once Pokemon hits the RPG market the kids' RPG market and up, it's just shut. So when does Yo-Kai Watch come out here in Australia? It doesn't.
Yeah, I mean, that's the big advantage Yo-Kai Watch had last year, was that it, like, there was no Pokemon games. This year, it's like, you've got a bit of an uphill battle now.
So, I mean... yeah, I mean, Rhythm Heaven's not going to be competing for the Skyrim, the Battlefield, the whatever the hell else is out on that day. Dollars. But, I mean, somewhat like for me, if I was going to buy it and it was out now and it was $29 on the eShop, boom, I'd do it right now because it was something cool that we got early. Why not?
It's like a nice surprise. Like, holy crap, they did this amazing thing and put it out. You know, without telling anyone, they did a Beyonce, and I would have just bought it immediately. But when you're waiting
like Earthbound, like Earthbound Beginnings last year.
But alas,
I didn't do anything like that this year at all, did they?
Yeah, I mean, I mean, we probably could go on to it, but we shouldn't, and talk about how Nintendo's cross-region releases are getting worse. You know, like, for every release that's a day apart, they have this stupidity that just shouldn't be anymore, and they need to fix it for the next console.
Yeah. That's the thing, there's no middle ground. It's either it's really good and it all releases in the same week, or it's really bad and it's months apart.
So like, Nintendo's really good with their main stuff, so, like, Star Fox, Mario, Zelda, that'll all come out right on time, but stuff like this... you do see a few weeks delay with it.
And not,
I mean, I found, like, especially doing the DS videos, like, I've researched, like, the release dates for stuff, and I mean, there's usually, like, a good 2 or 3 months difference with, like, I think some of the WarioWare games, or
Yeah, I mean, there is the overhead of the European eFigs translations, but a company as big as Nintendo now should be able to plan out, okay, we need this game, it's going to finish around here, let's get it translated, started now. Every other company in the world can get a big game out everywhere in the world.
Except Nintendo.
Yeah.
But that's going to take changes at the, you know, like the core level of Nintendo and how they function as branches. Like, Nintendo America hosted E3, right? And so everyone else is a guest there of Nintendo of America.
Mm. Yeah, yeah.
Mm.
But the branches need to work together better, because you end up with shit like this where Rhythm Heaven doesn't come out. And you know what? I bet you all the Nintendo Australia Europe staff would have been like, what the hell? Like, they would have had no idea that was happening.
They probably knew about it the moment we did.
Yeah. And
I mean, that's sort of just Nintendo America's attitude with this year's E3, is they did treat it as a very American event. Like, you know, it's all well and good you want to do 8-hour streams, but what about the rest of us in the world who just sort of want to watch something quick and...
And who has time to watch 8 hours of streams? And where do you find those streams later? Like, what's the point? Like, yeah.
Well, they were also updating the schedule on the fly, which made it really hard to actually plan. There were, like, 3-hour gaps.
Yeah, like, I...
And then you get to it, and it's like, oh, now we're talking about Yo-Kai Watch next. And you're like, you could have...
Could have told me so I could go to sleep.
Yeah. Or I could have woken up at a certain time to watch something I was interested in, even though it was going to be made available later.
Hmm.
They could have just said, we're talking about this one after this one, TBA on time, because, you know, things run over time and whatever. But, no, I don't know.
Oh, well.
Yes.
That's a topic for another day.
Yeah, I think so.
It sucks. It sucks because, I mean, you know...
Yeah, and yeah...
Staying up so late would lose a lot of colour in our skin and, you know, need to splash some water onto it just to wake ourselves up a bit.
Are you doing what I think you're doing?
Which leads us into our next game, Paper Mario Color Splash.
I wasn't expecting that.
What a splashing segue.
Yeah, let's paint right into this one.
I don't even know where to go from there.
Trying.
Dear God, the game looks gorgeous.
Yeah, that's one thing I can't deny. Like, it looks really nice.
I have a question. Mm-hmm. Is that entire trailer all gameplay? Or is some of it CG-ish? Because I don't think I've actually
watched the trailer, but the gameplay that I have watched looked ridiculously nice.
Because the first, like, I watched it too, and I thought, what the hell is everyone complaining about? Like, this looks like a really awesome HD, you know, Paper Mario.
Is the first time they've done Paper Mario in HD, isn't it?
Yep.
They've all been on, like, all the recent ones have been all on portables and stuff.
Yeah, but
you can really tell.
But the first minute of the trailer isn't in game. And if it is, it's really good looking. But I mean, just.
I know. I did watch the trailer. I just forgot about it.
I watched. This is enough. One of the ones that I sat down and watched all of. I had, because I've got two monitors at work, and I had sort of this stuff on one screen and my work on the other, and I was sort of just like occasionally glancing at it between
doing how the heck can you do that at work? Far out.
Hey, how do you get away with that? Tell me your secrets.
Shut up.
Yeah.
Shut up.
I'm not, no.
Let's just leave this podcast on their doorstep.
But, I mean, they actually talked about, like, the graphics and just what the work the team who did this, they actually made it so that they said this is the first game in the Paper Mario series where everything is legitimately made to look like it's made out of paper. And to the point that they actually went researching different types of paper and different textures of
paper. They just wanted to go on a field trip.
Different looks.
Yeah. Well, they did that with Yoshi's Woolly World as well.
Yeah.
They went Yeah.
Oh, I'm reading some of the complaints. It seems to be the combat people are complaining about.
Yeah, I'm sure I'll have things to say about that.
Okay, so they actually got asked about that in an interview. Like, people are like, why have you moved away from the RPG mechanics of like a thousand year door. And the reply they gave is, well, we've got the Mario and Luigi series, and we're happy for that to be the sort of RPG series of the Mario and Mario games. With Paper Mario, they want to be a bit more adventure-y and experiment.
I mean, just
it's a halfway, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, like, just in case people aren't aware, we should give a little idea of how the battle system works. Like, it's, from what I could gather, when you go in, you have, like, your cards, like a hand of cards that you can choose from, and then you can choose two to play during your turn, choose where to target, and you can choose to, like, to colour in those cards and make them more powerful, and that can be done, like, a spectrum of 0 to whatever percent, well, I guess 0 to 100% of colour, and it'll do more or less damage depending on how much you colour it in. But, man, that looked tedious to me. Like, they were, you know, selecting them at the bottom and then tapping them again to colour them in and holding it to make sure it was coloured in enough and then, like, flicking it up to the screen to use it. It seemed very, like, early Wii U tech demo sort of stuff that doesn't seem very practical, but it looks cool in a demo. I don't know. It didn't light my world on fire, at least.
It seems a few steps more involved than sticker style was, whereas that was just selecting your stickers from the bottom screen that you want to use for battle. I thought it was more people were getting upset the fact that, again, attacks are expendable items again.
Yeah, that I can understand why that's something people get concerned about as well. Like, it's just so different to everything we've been taught in games forever, is that items that are, you know, limited, you want to keep them until you absolutely need them and use, you know, an unlimited thing like an attack more often. But this is really, you know, putting that whole paradigm on its head, and I don't know, a lot of people aren't comfortable with it, and it's part of, I'm not terribly comfortable with it either. Just whenever I'm playing it just seems...
I got used to it in Sticker Star, and I really liked that in the end. I felt Sticker Star played more like a Zelda, sort of a Zelda exploration adventure game, but with turn-based combat. I mean, each area you go into is sort of like a Zelda dungeon with puzzles to solve and figure out and enemies to fight and then a big boss at the end.
The problem with the expendable attacks, though, is that by the end of it, I was just avoiding battles, which you shouldn't really be made to feel to do.
Yeah, that's definitely true. Like, that's avoiding an entire part of the game.
If the game is basically telling you don't play the game, it's a bit of a fatal flaw.
I don't know, I didn't find like I was running low on items by the end of it. I don't know.
It was the management on top of the battles.
Yeah, I guess it's the only sort of
one items. I was just.
It's the only RPG that makes you
trying to figure out what attacks to use.
Yeah, it makes you do inventory management for your basic attacks, which is a bit weird.
Yeah, but having said that, I still quite enjoyed Sticker Star.
Yeah, and this just seems to be an expansion of that.
I wonder, because how Wii U heavy it is, like, with the whole gamepad idea. How long have they been sitting on this game?
They actually mentioned in the Treehouse segment that development for it started, like, the idea for the game came during the just as they finished Sticker Star, they were having like a end of game party or something, and that's where they came up for the idea for this.
They were like, we should do that again, but on the Wii U.
Well, no, but the actual, like, painting mechanics and all of that. Yeah. So, and Sticker Star was, what, like, 3-4 years ago when that finally came out?
Oh, Jesus, yeah.
Because that got shown at a few E3s before it finally came out.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Anything more to say about Paper Mario Color Splash, anybody?
Yeah, well, it's the only game you're going to be playing in the second year of the Wii, this year, so second half of this year.
You've still got Skylanders and what's it called? Ubisoft Dancing, whatever the fuck.
Just Dance. Also, that you're going to be playing this year.
I think
year.
It's called Dance Until You Puke, but I'm not sure.
It's also coming to the Wii. We got a Wii game announced at E3.
It's a tri-gen game.
Oh my god.
That's wrong.
That's pretty funny.
Cool.
If you want me to run through the rest of these, Stephen?
Yeah, go for it. There was a whole bunch of other stuff announced that we probably won't talk as much about individually, but yeah, go ahead.
So, I mean, like the Treehouse stuff from the second day, they had a few guys from Square Enix sit down and talk about Dragon Quest VII and just run through the gameplay with that. They actually had Hino, the CEO of Level 5, there to talk about Yo-Kai Watch 2. That was just mind-blowing to see him, because I thought he was like a really big, super important dude, but he's just there chilling.
Just hanging out.
Mario Party, I have no idea what the name of this one is.
Well, actually, gosh, I can't remember. It's like Star Rush, yeah.
SpaghettiOs.
I looked at the gameplay footage of this. It seems like they're taking advantage of the fact that everyone has their own screen, because like there's not really a concept of turns anymore. Everyone plays their turn and then it sort of acts out all at once. Like there are certain other games I can't think of that have done that mechanic, but it's sort of another way to make Mario Party less waiting for things to happen, and because you're always doing something at all times and everyone's a Toad and you can recruit other Mario characters to help you out and stuff. It sounds interesting, but I just don't know if I care about a Mario Party on a handheld. It's just never been a good thing before.
I'm willing to, you know, try new things with the Mario Party franchise, because it's kind of lost its identity lately, and if it can kind of find it in its own way on the handhelds, then I'm all for it. Hopefully this is it.
I'm still disappointed they screwed up the Wii U one. Like, I remember playing it at Vuk's place last year, and I'm like, this is kind of boring. Like, you'd think the idea of someone with the gamepad being Bowser, just being a dick to everyone, should be a lot of fun, but it was just like, this just feels half-assed. You could have done a lot more with this, but you just...
There were only like 5 mini-games for Bowser.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed it, but it got old fast.
I think I'm the only person who had a fair bit of fun with Mario Party 10, but I don't think you can have that much fun after a while. It gets... You sort of have to get rid of the idea of winning having anything to do with how the game is played, and it's just sort of a randomly chosen thing. Just have fun on the way.
But it did feel a little unbalanced as well.
Yeah.
I swear, but I need to get you guys to play Dokapon Kingdom one day at Vuk's place if we want to play a decent, like, video game board game on the Wii.
What's that one?
It's amazing. It's a board game RPG, so it's like the whole world map is just a huge board game. And you roll your dice to see how many places you move, and it's all sort of weird and insane.
Oh.
All that. But heaps of fun.
Well, yeah, the other stuff that they've shown has mostly been things that are coming out very soon, I guess, you know, similar to Dragon Quest. Actually, on Dragon Quest, I'm probably not going to play it when it comes out, because I've sort of been lucky enough to pick up a whole bunch of, like, the DS Dragon Quest games, like, from various sales and from nice people on Twitter and stuff like that, but...
You are in for a treat with all of them.
I'm happy that 7... Because 7 and 8 are coming. Like, 7's the one coming soon. Yeah. And it looks nice. I'm sure I'll enjoy it when I, you know, get through the Dragon Quest games I already have in a decade, but it's good that they're bringing it.
I'll talk about it later at the end of the show, I guess, when we're doing the wrap-up. I'm still working through Dragon Quest IX at the moment for the videos, and I'm loving every minute of it. Just like, even looking at it as a DS game, I'm surprised about how good it looks. But then I look at this, and I'm like, oh my god, it looks so good. I just want to play it now. The slimes, and give me it. God, I love Dragon Quest at the moment.
Well, you want to know something funny?
I've never played one.
I looked at the trailer for Dragon Quest, whatever the hell, the one they showed at E3, and I thought, this game actually looks pretty good, and this is me talking who doesn't like RPGs.
Yeah, you're not really an RPG guy.
I just don't have the time for it. Like, I would love to...
Unless it's called Golden Sun.
I'd play that in an instant, like, boom. I love Golden Sun. Golden Sun's amazing.
Golden Sun's great.
Do a video on that soon. I mean, even like Yo-Kai Watch 2, I got pretty excited looking at that. Just the little differences between Yo-Kai Watch 1 and this. Tighten a few things up a bit. Tokyo Mirage Sessions got... They didn't do much. They just sort of ran through a dungeon and showed how battle worked and all that. I think it's just because they needed to pad things out a bit. So.
But I have a question about this game. Am I missing something? what the fuck? Like, what is it? Like,
it's a Persona game with some Fire Emblem references in it.
It just goes
basically
over my head completely, like.
Yeah, like, the whole, like, you know, Japanese pop music theme is not going to get... There'll be specific people who will be amazed and love it, but it's, yeah, not many people are going to see the appeal, I guess. It's not really a...
I mean, I'd say it's safe to say Stephen and I are probably the two, out of anyone on the site, the ones most excited for it, but even they're like...
Yeah.
Okay, sorry, I didn't know
Troy's...
if you were...
He likes it too.
Sorry. Well, I mean, I'm a huge Shin Megami Tensei fan. Steven's a huge Persona fan.
See, Shin Megami Tensei, I'm pretty sure I had that for dinner last night.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
And we also got Box Box Boy announced, which is the follow-up to Box Boy. I honestly didn't watch the Treehouse for that because I'm like, I don't need to see you.
Nah, I just
want
to play that. Just give it to me now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Monster Hunter Generations looks good. But I mean, you know, this thing outside
it's just more
of
Monster Hunter.
Yeah. And outside of Mario Party and Ever Oasis, everything was known quantities, I guess. And it's
especially with like Tokyo Mirage Sessions coming out like literally the Saturday after E3 or the Saturday next Saturday after E3. It's like it seemed a bit pointless to demo it. As you say, it seemed like they were padding things out rather than showing
Nintendo
anything
do
new.
Always do this, though. Like, that's last true. E3, they showed a game that came out, like, a week before E3 or something.
Yeah, that's fair.
But even last year they had a lot of content to show. Like, it wasn't just... You know, I'm pretty sure we had LBX, we had, a few Wii U games to show off. Whereas this year, it was really... You're really sort of clawing at the bottom of the barrel. And they didn't even do anything with indies. Like, you'd think, hey, why don't you show Shantae during one of your half-an-hour segments? Why don't you show Mighty Number 9 or something?
Yeah, like, they're all in the,
you know,
they're
really
all in the press
about
kit.
That, though.
And...
Yeah.
Like, but...
Well, even
they were, like, the first
the...
things listed on the actual E3 games tab.
Yeah.
Mm.
And they weren't shown.
There was pretty much nothing about indies this year. Or from their actual presentation.
On the Treehouse,
and I mean, even their press kit, it's... Axiom Verge, it's Severed and Runbo,
yeah.
That's it.
And Yotan?
Yotan? Oh, the... Yeah, what's that? I haven't even looked at... I did see it there.
Valhalla Edition?
But,
I don't know.
Yeah, it's just... I mean,
it's got a really
nice
design, though.
I know there's a ton of stuff coming out for it, but I mean, it's like... You know, heck, even that Sonic Boom game for 3DS could have got some time on it, but they didn't.
Hmm. Well, I mean, we could probably transition this into a, I guess, a chat about what we thought of how the overall presentation went. Like, it's...
Before you do.
Okay. Gosh, I was trying to segue. Far out.
One last announcement. We got new amiibos.
We got a Waluigi amiibo and some others that are irrelevant.
No, glow-in-the-dark Boo.
Okay, that's true. to be fair, some really pretty Zelda ones as well.
I tell you what,
did we get a Toadette.
The best, the best thing.
Shit, we didn't talk about the Wolf Link. Did you see what that does for Zelda?
I think that's pretty
cool.
Some
hearts. It puts Wolf Link in.
As long as it doesn't break the game, like the balance of it.
Well, no, it summons a wolf into the game. How cool is that?
Wait, does it? I thought it just gave you like, oh,
no.
I must
then
not have
get,
been
like,
paying
Wolf
attention.
Link is a companion in the game.
Yeah.
Oh, that's neat.
Cool. We'll see how it actually plays out, but...
Yeah, I don't want it to break the balance of the whole game.
Well, once you put a dog in it, you know it's going to die.
That's true.
No!
A dog in a video game.
No. No.
Oh, I'm sorry, but...
It's the law. You have to understand.
Holy shit! That new Diddy Kong, that new Diddy Kong amiibo looks really hot. Sorry.
Just don't want to acknowledge the dog thing. Yeah, it does.
You know what the best thing I got out of E3 though was, you know, that Zelda
Emeroids
rock climbing thing.
Yeah.
The artwork. Nintendo gave it to us in like a format that's like bigger than like 600 floppy disks, and like
yeah.
And I'm going to get it printed and put on the wall, like, as a canvas.
Yeah, and I've got it here. Like, it was 162 megabytes of JPEG. That's, like, billboard size,
Jesus
I swear.
Jesus Christ. Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm going to go
ridiculous.
I'm going to get a big W and get that printed out and put it on the wall.
Stephen, so cool. I'm sorry I interrupted your nice segue.
So yes, what did we all think of not having any sort of condensed presentation montage or Nintendo Direct or really anything? There was the Treehouse Live was something that had accompanied the announcements in previous years, but now that was all that they had. What do we think this was a good idea?
There's two things here. One, if this is literally all they have to show, because that's all they have to show, then that's probably the best they could do with what they had. Obviously, they probably would have wanted to show the NX, but it's been pushed back. That's obvious as plain as day. But if this Nintendo either have to go all the way in or all the way out next year, like they will because they'll have a new console. You watch, but
yeah.
This year they kind of said, oh yeah, we got Zelda, and then we're just gonna have Zelda, and it's just gonna be this awesome atmospheric Zelda, but then it kind of ended up being like a E3 light minus the direct, and they showed a bit of this and a bit of that and a bit of this. If they had advertised it as Zelda's the main star, but the second day is going to be filled with this and this and this, and listed all the games they ended up showing, the reception wouldn't have been as bad.
I do think that, like, they did a lot to tell people, like, you know, it's literally just going to be Treehouse, and I think people, even after reading that, we're expecting a lot more. But, like, you know, you saw people complain, oh, they're talking about Pokemon for half an hour, which is really shitty when you're covering it because you have to sit and wait for them to talk about boring things. But I don't know. I feel like if, like, they say that it's all going to be Treehouse, they've done it before. We kind of know what it is. It's a meandering talking with people about things that might be vaguely interesting.
But the thing they did with the Zelda, Zelda, the problem with that is we waited 2 years to see Zelda footage, and then they put a brick wall in front of the freight train, the hype train, and killed it. It pissed off you. Who's watching these things, Nintendo fans? You pissed off your fan base.
Apparently Giant Bomb was doing like a live stream covering it, and then they just gave up halfway through the Pokemon thing, and I'm like...
They walked
didn't
away.
They just, like, just, they put up on screen, we'll be back whenever Zelda is.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
but that's, you know, that's a big screw up on Nintendo's part. They sold this as, we're going to be talking about Zelda, and everyone's like, oh. And then we get like a quick trailer, a 2-minute trailer, and then, cool, now here's Pokemon. I'm like, no, you do Pokemon later.
I can understand they wanted to, like, they did a whole bunch more Zelda demos throughout the day, but it would have been nice if there was something more than just a trailer and then, cool, that was great, wasn't it? Let's move on. Like, it's probably especially worse for us in this time zone, the way you had people, like, in New South Wales and Queensland waking up at, like, 3 a.m. in the morning to see it and then just... Yeah, I can't imagine having done that.
I didn't even bother. I mean, this is the first time since probably... The only other time I didn't start to watch it was the whole Wii Music year, just because... for some reason, I decided no, I wasn't... Well, I didn't know that
you're
I
like
Wii
tempted
Music.
Fate, I'm not gonna tempted watch fate on that day.
Yeah.
I have still... I mean, the last few weeks, I've been going through and rewatching all of the Nintendo's E3 press conferences since 2001. Fun thing, it's weird as hell seeing people cheer when Dennis Dyett gets on stage. I'm like, shit, how times
that wouldn't
have
happen anymore.
No.
Yeah, the only stage they would cheer with him now is the one with the trapdoor.
I mean, E3's changed a lot since then. Like the first few years, it's like, okay, here's a few games and here's our sales for the year. Here's what we've done. Now we're going to have a Q&A at the end. Does anyone want to ask any questions? Whereas nowadays, it's all about the hype and circumstance of it. And
I guess that sort of changed, like, because back then it was a lot more for press and for reporting, and now it's, I guess, people are catching on to what Nintendo have been doing with just giving trailers direct to people, and now, you know, well, looking at Sony, sort of, for example, the first half hour was just trailer after trailer after trailer.
I've sort of noticed
even Sony did their own sort of like treehouse events, like, you know, their YouTube page is just full up of interviews that they'll do for like half an hour with developers and all that. But I mean, you know, I think I'm in the minority. I enjoyed the Nintendo Directs that they had the last few years. Like, even last year's was fun. I mean, they didn't have a lot to cover, but they made the most of it. And then the years before that, with Splatoon and Mario Maker and all that, that they made good of. The whole conference isn't needed. It's just there for the people in attendance. But for us at home, hell, an hour-long Direct is perfectly fine, and I think I actually would have preferred an hour-long Direct this year to just, you know, here's a brief overview of everything we're going to be talking about, and then do your Treehouse stuff after it.
Well, I actually, just going by what was announced, I think the Treehouse was probably the right way to go, because Directs are usually reserved for new announcements, and while that would have worked for Zelda, I think having it actually shown being played rather than a pre-recorded thing was a lot better.
Yeah.
I guess that way they can sort of show off all the new systems in a lot more depth for anyone who's interested. Like, in a trailer they could say, it's got crafting, it's got climbing, it's got all these things. But when you have half an hour to sit down and show how it actually works, then you get a lot more info out of it.
Well, the Direct would have just been Zelda and Ever Oasis and a couple of release dates. It wouldn't have been, because then people would have complained about, why even bother doing a Direct?
Yeah, I think you're right.
They've got feedback on that before.
I did read a terrible article before E3, though. Written by someone who used to work for GameSpot here in Australia. GameSpot? Yeah, GameSpot. Now has gone all pro in America. And it was called E3 Fading Catnip for Video Gamers Tries a New Approach. And basically it was like, E3 is great, but E3 is in flux, and talking about how E3 is changing. But not once did they mention how Nintendo changed E3. And I think the first year Nintendo didn't do, like, that was the year I was there, and they just did a Direct. And like, I was in LA, ready to go to a Nintendo conference, and I was sitting in my hotel room watching a Direct. That first year they did that, everyone was like, this is horseshit. But now, everyone does it.
And now everyone sort of expects it. Like, as we were saying, that's basically what Sony's was for the first half, and they, you know, they had Kojima walk out for a minute, and then Crash Bandicoot Shadow and stuff. But like, it was mostly just, you know, I guess from our perspective, it was basically a Direct. There wasn't, you know, wasn't any of the, you know, stuff they used to have.
E3 is really weird, because you think of other forms of entertainment, movies, TV shows, books, I don't know, music. Well, you don't have anything like E3.
Disney does do that a little bit now.
Like a conference that Disney attends
Can you imagine Warner Brothers going, okay, we're going to do a press conference, we're going to show stuff for our movies for the next year, here's the Harry Potter spin-off, and here's Adam Sandler to do.
Comic-Con, I guess.
Well,
Comic-Con is probably the closest thing to it, yeah. But E3 just feels really peculiar when you think about it. Why? It's basically treating gaming like it's above other forms of entertainment without actually being above other forms of entertainment.
And I guess a part of it is that, like, all of the console manufacturers are marketing their own. Like, you don't have, like, competing Blu-ray players going, this is why you should buy a Sony Blu-ray player, but each of the console manufacturers has to have this thing to push their own hardware over other people's hardware, whereas movies are, you know, most other media, it's just you buy the media on whatever you can watch it on, but it doesn't really have a company behind it saying, yes, we're going to get exclusive Blu-rays for our brand of Blu-ray player and stuff like that. Games are weird. Yeah.
That usually happens at the retail level, which is funny.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I mean, the whole Wii U generation for Nintendo has pretty much been about, like, the big push for it has been the Nintendo Direct. They didn't really do that pre-Wii U. I think that there may have been one or two. But since they've started doing the directs, they don't need to do E3 as much.
Instead of doing
all their announcements at one point, they can space it out throughout the year. That said, I mean, since the passing of Iwata, the directs have sort of been, you know, they're not as frequent, but I think that's also part because Nintendo's in a big restructuring point right now with where they are. So, and I sort of wonder what the future of Nintendo Direct will be going forward. Because, I mean, you could sort of argue the directs haven't really made a big difference to Nintendo. Like, they're at their probably lowest point ever. And despite being more hands-on with the community, it's not really paid off.
Directs definitely work on a Nintendo level because it's showing their personality as a company.
Yeah,
and arguably, they've got a lot of that. Not too many other companies at the same level of Nintendo really do that. I have that level of personality, so...
Or personalities.
After the restructuring, we'll see, I guess.
Yes.
Actually, speaking of personalities and just the opinions on the whole conference, Miyamoto was really downplayed this year. Like he showed up for the Pokemon Go thing, but I don't remember seeing anything else from him. And even, like, Reggie didn't show up much.
Yeah, it's weird. Like, before it all started, they were like, oh, Reggie and Miyamoto are ready for E3, and they kind of didn't do much.
Apparently, Miyamoto hasn't had that much interaction with the Zelda game, and that's, you know, their big thing for E3 this year, so that makes sense.
It does.
He was all busy working on Star Fox.
And Reggie definitely has more of a direct personality rather than a press one, if that makes sense.
Yeah, he's very corporate. Like,
yeah.
I mean, I think all the Treehouse guys did a really good job presenting it. My personal... I don't know if she's Treehouse or if she's just Nintendo Japan. It was this one, sort of like this Japanese woman who was playing Zelda and was just seemed to be the most evil, horrifying, bloody moblin-destroying badass ever, and was just taking delight in going through the Hyrule Field, the plateau, just destroying all the camps. And they're like, maybe we should go look now. She's like, no, we're going to go destroy them all. They don't deserve to live. I'm like, Jesus Christ, evil, woman.
You say evil, I say focused.
I know.
Efficient.
And on the second day, she's like, Audrey, I'm taking Link's shirt off for you. Would you like him to run around shirtless? It's like, okay, this is awesome.
What about the first demo Zelda? When Bill Trinner's playing and it cuts out and it says thank you for playing.
Oh, I forgot to turn the camera
off. And someone's like, oh, we should have turned that off. And oh, the death stare Bill gave someone off screen was like, I haven't gone back to look and to try and find the footage of it yet, but I'll try and make...
It was palpable.
Yeah, it was just like someone blew up off screen.
I love Bill Trinner. He comes across really like... I think he should be the spokesman for Nintendo America going forward because he comes across as very likable and personable.
They kind of built that up, don't they?
Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing, watching all the E3s from, like, 2001 for Nintendo. He's been there, and they've slowly been building him up in importance.
Yeah. No, I'd love to see more of Bill Trinner, and he's great. He's got a good presence. It's a nice...
Also, I want to note, just with all the stuff they showed during the Treehouse, no Metroid Prime Federation Force.
What's that?
Never heard of it.
It's a game I'm actually looking forward to. But, nothing said about that at all, and I just love, Jesus, that this game's going to go out and die, isn't it?
I
think the best thing we can look forward to that is seeing it on Unseen 64 in about 2 years.
Yeah.
It looks like a good game. The studio behind it is fucking amazing.
They are. They made Luigi's Mansion too. But they should. They shouldn't. Like, I mean, imagine you've got those guys and you made Luigi's Mansion 2 and it sold millions and Nintendo love you and they say, oh, you want to make Metroid? And then, obviously, what's happened is Miyamoto's got involved or something and said, oh, how about you make Metroid, but make it like soccer?
Well, apparently it was the what's his name, the main guy behind Metroid. This was his idea.
Yeah, so like it's
so it was Other M though.
Yeah.
Oh, that's not coming. I thought we got away from Other M.
Oh, I'll get the flashbacks.
Listen to our past podcast about Other M to think of what we think about
I mean, I just think that there was more stuff they could have talked about at this E3. Like, you know, as I said, Nindies, Federation Force. You know, that there was not much said about, like, amiibo functionality going forward, really. It's just, here are new amiibos. And I'm like, I don't care. Really, they do nothing. They do nothing at the moment.
You're really anti-amiibo right now, aren't you?
I love amiibos. They look great, but just they take up space. They collect dust.
Mobile. Do you know? I figured out how much
an amiibo. You tap in your amiibo.
Yes, an amoibo.
You know, I figured out how much I spent on amiibos last year.
Don't do this.
And it was over $1,000, right?
Oh my god!
Do you have them all?
I have all of them except Celeste. And I know Leela will kill me because I don't actually have them all, because I don't have all the reprints and the colours and all that kind of stuff. But
you liar.
Yeah, I'm a liar.
And you own a Nintendo fan site.
Did
I mean,
get
come on.
All of the Animal Crossing ones?
I did. I don't have the alternates. Right, so I don't have Summer Dress. What's her face? Isabel.
Oh man, you are missing out.
So I'll buy them when they're $4. But I bought all the ones I like of the Animal Crossing ones. So Blathers, Kix.
If you spend over $1,000 and I've got more than you.
Yeah. Just like, look at how many you have and multiply that number by 17 and then just cry.
And like last year I was really poor. Like I had like had no money last year. And but
still found amiibo money.
It was a damn amiibo bunny. I didn't buy any games last year. Like I'm still playing Battlefield 4 and like Smash Brothers and everything old, and I'm going through all my old DS games, and because all I did was buy bloody amiibos. I come back like, you know, on a Saturday morning and unbox like 10 of them, and like I hate myself.
Yeah. But you keep doing it. Yeah. I know exactly how that feels.
The video game equivalent of buying an entire tub of ice cream and eating it all.
Yeah, I did that today too. That was great.
It's probably better, to be honest.
I mean, it cancels out the amiibo ban.
Clearly.
I like the idea of, like, you know, Mario and Friends Amiibo Challenge. I'm like, this is actually cool. This gives me a reason to use my stupid fucking amiibos. But I want more, and it's just...
Imagine a Diablo style game with amiibo. You tap in your character, you play as them.
That's called Skylanders.
So, okay. There is a Waluigi and a Boo amiibo. That's great. Yes. What do they do?
They look great.
What game do they work
with? Well, Waluigi amiibo, it cures cancer, okay? So.
Yes.
Well, now that we've worked out exactly what we think about the presentation method for E3. Unless anyone had anything else to add, I think we're pretty well ready to wrap up.
Waluigi for president.
Yes.
Well, were we happy?
As we could be.
I am happy that Zelda surprised me. Like, I was ready to write that off as just, it's just going to be another Skyward Sword that is moving further and further away from what I want. But yeah, this E3 has made me excited for Zelda, and I didn't think it would do that.
It's basically the Elder Scrolls 6 Hyrule.
Yeah, Zelda was good. Everything else was crap.
Daniel, your summary?
the awesomeness of Zelda, like, is, you know, right up there, and it just made everything else just...
That is the official books review.
Yeah.
I'm getting a spiritual success to Secret of Mana. I'm happy as a pig in fucking shit at the moment.
We're going to have to put like an explicit warning on this one.
Yeah, I think so. And it's all because of you, Daniel. Did we get Troy's thoughts?
I'm an angry person these days.
Sorry?
I can't remember. Did we get your thoughts, Troy?
Sorry, the mic cut out there. Oh. Content, basically. Zelda really blindsided me. I was expecting the same as you, just oh cool, Zelda, I'll probably play it, to I need this injected into my veins.
Mm-hmm.
And then everything else was just icing, I guess.
Icing.
I mean, those amiibo You know me. I'm an amiibo nut. So having new ones of characters that I actually really wanted also happened.
Oh, yeah, I actually bought Roy this week. I should say that.
Actually, I was
Roy,
I'm surprised.
Not Troy, right?
I bought the Troy amiibo.
I'm surprised there was nothing about the last three Smash amiibos. Like no, no Bayonetta,
oh, yeah,
no Cloud,
I thought about
no,
that. I was like, yeah, where the hell are they? They're still not. I think what's going to happen to them is because the amiibo thing has passed the peak period, they're going to be like a limited release. You'll have to pre-order them.
Yeah, like you talk to most retail stores now, and they're just like, we're trying not to order as many amiibo as we have because we can't get rid of the ones that we have.
Yeah,
but at the same time, a Cloud amiibo I think is going to be just weird enough that people are going to like the Ryu amiibo. In my time in retail, that did sell
because
they're like, what the hell? Because that came out around the same time as Street Fighter V. So
it didn't sell or did? Oh, okay, yep.
Yeah, fair bit.
I've got this Ryu amiibo. Why isn't it working with my Street Fighter V? Why isn't it?
Where's my NFC reader on my PlayStation 4?
I just put it on my DualShock. I put it on my Vita. Why isn't it working?
It'll give me single player content. Why isn't it doing anything?
That's where Street Fighter V was hiding.
Ooh, topical.
Well, on that, I guess we'll wrap everything up as we usually do with a quick cover of what's been going on the site recently. It's clearly been a while between podcasts, so I won't cover everything. But as far as recent stuff that's been going up, we've had a review of Kirby Planet Robobot, which is fairly positive.
Robobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobob
that in Australia. It's a mystery.
We stole it off the ship that's taking like the 3 months to get here from Japan.
That very show slow ship to Europe.
Yeah.
What else do we have? There'll be a review of Super Robo Mouse going up soon, which is that's my review. It's kind of not great. Gosh, what else do we have? I think Daniel has something to mention that he's been doing, not necessarily Vooks related.
Well, no, actually, I do have something Vooks related to mention first. Most recent episode of Touching Is Good went live on YouTube about 2 weeks ago, I think. Next one should be soon. I've just got to finish the script. So Dragon Quest, a series I enjoy a lot, turned 30 a few weeks ago, so I'm covering all the Dragon Quest games. The first episode of this, well, episode 7, whatever, the first part of this Dragon Quest epic quest covers Dragon Quest Rocket Slime and Dragon Quest Monsters Joker on the DS. Next one will be the 4 and 5 remakes and then so on. So check that out. I'm really happy with it. Turned out quite well. And also, I'm doing a thing with some friends in a few weeks called on July 23rd at 8 a.m. WA time. I'm taking part of the 1UP Marathon. Now, what this is... we're going to be playing video games for 24 hours straight, which most people say that sounds easy, but you do anything for 24 hours without falling asleep. Dare ya.
I can fall asleep for 24 hours.
So you're raising money. No doubt you could. So yeah, we're doing that, raising money for the MFs, Multiple Sclerosis Society of WA. In previous years, the guys have raised up to like, you know, I think they've been doing it for like 4 or 5 years, and over those they've raised like a total of $5,000. This year we're aiming to raise $3,000. I'm hoping to be able to stream everything I'm doing. Still not sure on what I'm going to be playing yet. It's either going to be really retro focused, or I might just stick with the Wii U because that'll be comfortable to play for 24 hours. But yeah, there will be links on the site. I'll talk to Vuk about doing like an article on it with all the links to the donation page, and the same on the Facebook. I'll keep pestering him to promote about it every couple of days. Because, I mean, it's for a good cause, and damn it, I want to raise more money than everyone else.
We can just pin it.
Competitive like that. Yeah. Definitely check that out, and yeah, more about it closer to the date in regards to what I'm playing. If anyone wants to donate a lot of money, you can dictate what I'm playing.
Devil's Third.
Yes, I'll pay you $4 to play Devil's Third.
Yeah.
Yeah, I said significant
amount of money. It's decided for you.
So,
I'm a uni student. That's all I have.
Planning on playing AFL Mascot Manor. I don't know. But yeah.
Cool.
Sonic that's Boom. Sonic Boom. Devil's Third.
Lost World.
Amiibo Festival.
Funky Bomb!
Family Party, 30 Great Games.
Oh, that's Theme a good Rush. One. That's
Hello
a classic.
Kitty Cruises.
Theme Rush.
Yep.
Beat the Grand Prix in Hello Kitty.
What's that stupid teddy bear game?
Teddy Together. No, that's delayed. You can't play that now. There was translation issues.
Yep.
Teddy language is hard to understand. Cool. With that, I have been Stephen. If you're interested, I'm on Twitter and Instagram and all those fun things as at Stephen Ibsen. Daniel, where can we find you?
Okay. I'm at WorthNintendo on Twitter, WorthNintendo. Follow me there and subscribe to the YouTube page because that's where you get my latest videos when they're up.
And Troy?
Yeah. I am now at StewReview on Twitter. Yep.
Cool. and Vuk?
Yeah, I'm at Vuk64 because someone stole my username and I'm going to kill them.
And yeah, the actual...
63 people stole your username.
Can I actually just... I just want to give a public service announcement. Vuk was talking about the Isabel amiibo. And then I googled Isabel Animal Crossing. Don't do that.
Thanks.
Don't.
God.
We're going to cause
Jesus
a spike
Christ.
Of searches, you know this.
God. Why does it... How does that safe fit search. In there?
That's why you have safe search.
Goddamn deviant art. Jesus Christ, guys.
I think...
And Vuk's itself is on
Jesus Christ
on Twitter, YouTube, by Vuk anywhere else.
Grindr.
I think we've got it.
Not DeviantArt. We're not on DeviantArt.
Oh, Pinterest.
And we're generally Vuks.net, VOOKSDOTNET on most things. Come say hello and look at the things. It's fun.
Keep the Isabel stuff to yourself.
And with that, I think it's about time for us to say goodbye. So,
bye.
Have a good time, everyone. Bye.
See you next E3.